We have been removed from the pit and we have been placed upon the podium. You know, I do care how you feel today, but I don't care. You are a winner. I do care. And it matters what you go through, what you're facing. But it also matters that you're going to win. Now, that kind of seems to be a theme for me, you know, just winning. I like that song. It's a Khalil song. I like that song. It says, all I do is win, 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 no matter what. Then he goes on to sing, you got my money on my mind, I can never, I don't go into all that, you know. I got my money on my Lord, I can never get enough. But that seems to be a theme of mine. But before I get any further into it, I want to tell you about the situation here where a group of chess enthusiasts, they were in town on a weekend for a tournament. They were gonna play in a tournament for checkers. No, actually, they were going to play chess. But what happens is that they checked into the hotel, and they were all in the lobby discussing their victories. They were telling each other how great their last victory was, and it went on for a little while. And then finally, the manager of the hotel opened up his door, and he came out, and he says, you know what, you guys got to go. I mean, don't you have someplace else to go? You guys got to just disperse. You got to leave. You know, clear the lobby. And they're like, why? What did we do wrong? And the manager says, I just can't stand when chestnuts are boasting in an open foyer. Yeah. Right? That's it. That's my message. Let's pray. Okay. No, actually, I'm just going to continue Kathy's message right now from all that worship right there. I'm just going to tag on to her with all that victory and all that freedom that we just sang about. I want to talk about some habits for living out the victory. You may be in a fight today. I've been in plenty of fights. I know what it's like. I know how it feels. And like I say, I do care about what you're going through. Sometimes it feels like you got a foot on your neck. But I'm sorry about that, but I'm not sorry because I'm waiting for your victory. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I'm going to have to hear about your financial breakthrough later on. I'm going to have to hear about your healing. I'm going to get to hear about your relationship being transformed. I'm going to get to hear about checks in the mail. I'm going to get to hear about all of your blessings that are coming out of this storm. Can you say amen? Say it again. Amen.
Amen.
So, you may be in a fight right now, but we know how to fight. A lot of times we're more accustomed to being in a fight than we are in being in the winner's circle. After a while, sometimes I won't try to speak for everybody, but I kind of think I have some things in common. Sometimes it feels like we're more at home in a fight. We're more at home when we're playing the underdog. We're more at home when we got our dukes up. We're walking the floors. We're quoting scripture. We're speaking things out. We're fighting with the weapons that are not carnal, the mighty weapons. Amen. But then when it comes to the wide open spaces of winning, it's kind of like we don't know how to act. Like we don't know what to do then. Anybody with me?
Yeah.
We're good in the fight, but sometimes we don't know how to be winners. Yeah, we have a tough time enjoying it because our experiences have trained us, or we've been trained and conditioned by our experiences to just enjoy the victory a little bit, but don't go overboard because, you know, sooner or later, another one's coming. And you don't want to be the guy that celebrated too loud and made a big deal out of it, and then you're in the trench again fighting. You guys get what I'm getting at? Do you guys understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like we hardly want to take in the data of the victory that's just come to us. You know, we celebrate quickly, briefly. We're a little reserved when it comes to the victory. I know some of you are just loud and you can't be stopped. Praise God for that. You know, but some of us, we have more of a challenge. We act like we've been trained more in the trenches than on the podium. We try to gather into barns. We overthink. We under-celebrate. We try to see how we're going to keep the next fight from happening, rather than just full-on blow up in celebration. Let ourselves enjoy it. We're trained in battle. We're good in battle. But it looks a little different when we won. I think about, and it's kind of a shame considering everything we've won. You know, you married well. I'll say that again. You were married to the first love of the universe. You're married to the most perfect husband. You've got the bridegroom that everyone wishes they had. You married well. And sometimes you wouldn't know it. Sometimes when you look at us, you wouldn't know it. We're like, oh, yeah, waiting for the next trial. You know, wow, yeah, that was great for 5 minutes. It's kind of like I'm reminded of lottery winners that, you know, one day they're doing their normal thing. They're living life. They bought a ticket, and now they're millionaires. And, you know, they're millionaires. But they're not money managers. They weren't really prepared to win $270 million. Whatever the case is. And they're not really prepared to manage it all that well. They, you know, they've got to hurry up and play catch up and learn what to do with it. You know, sometimes they get taken advantage of. Sometimes, sadly, they, you know, they lose it. There have been some that declare bankruptcy. So you wouldn't know that they were winners. And so, now that we've won the greatest lottery of all, right?
Amen.
You didn't even buy the ticket, right? See, somebody bought the ticket for you. If you're in Christ this morning, somebody bought that ticket for you. Made you a lottery winner. And now you're in the winner's circle. Trying to figure out what to do with it. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out how to act. You know? So that's what I'm bringing here today. I've got some suggestions on how to live the victory. How to live out the victory. You know, how to go from a lifestyle of desperation to expectation. How to live in expectation versus desperation. You know? Just some suggestions on how we can train ourselves to live in victory, to live in expectation. Number one would be celebration.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we did a lot of that this morning, and it was awesome. Can you guys hear me? I got to hold this up. It's like I say, I'm preaching part two of Kathy's message. Because she just gets out there and gets us all going, and we're celebrating. I'll read you a little bit. 2 Samuel chapter 6. You've all probably heard it. If you haven't, that's fine. 2 Samuel chapter 6. The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God, David was told. So David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. While he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. So, a little while previous to this, David got the idea that he was going to bring the ark to Jerusalem. He was going to bring it to Jerusalem where it belonged, and it was going to be an awesome thing. But that day cost Uzzah his life. One of the guys carrying the ark. And the ark tipped a little bit. Uzzah said, no, you don't. And then he lost his life. And David at that point says, oh, yeah, okay, something's wrong here. We're going to park this thing and we'll come back maybe. You know, oh, by the way, Obed, you know, you got a place for this thing. Yeah, sure I do. Okay, yeah, you take it for a while. I need to go rethink this. So that's not all in scripture. I'm reading that in there, but you know, just imagine. There he is. I'm going to park this thing right here. And he was afraid. But then when he gets this report about Obed-Edom's household blowing up, prospering, he says, well, things must be okay. Let's go get that thing. Let's go bring that to Jerusalem. This is a great day. And so he goes and he brings all of Israel with him. And there he is, taking six steps, boom, kill a fatted calf, have a celebration. That must have taken quite a while. I mean, you can't get bored with celebration if you're going to do all that. You got to have plenty of calves. So he was sparing no expense, and he was sparing no dignity. It'd be like me getting down to my chonies and dancing around, saying, yeah, hallelujah, yeah. Give me that fatted calf. Give me another one. Okay, six more steps. Yeah, woo! And that's what was happening. I was kind of thinking earlier how, what if that were happening today? I think I'd be one of those guys where the ushers would be saying, hey, you know what, dude, chill out. Because I'd be over there, yeah, come on. I'd be cutting the rug. I know it. I'd be excited. So David was excited because it was a great day. It was a great victory. And we ask ourselves, and I ask myself, what did it look like the last time we had a victory? What did it look like the last time God gave you a big breakthrough? Let's see. What was that like? What was that like? Was I reserved? Did I celebrate for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, and say, okay, that's good? Or did I get all of my family together? Did I say, okay, we're going to have a barbecue. We're going to celebrate this thing. What happened the last time God gave us a big breakthrough? Huh? You know, part of learning how to live in victory is learning how to celebrate. So Now, what do you say the next time we have a big breakthrough? What do you say when you get the healing for your eyes? What do you say when you get the healing for your hip? Or when that money comes through that you need right now for your rent? What do you say? What do you say? We have a big celebration. Huh? What do you say we get loud? We jump out on our front doorsteps and say, yeah, I just got paid. Or yeah, I just got healed. Part of living in victory is not being afraid to let it be known you just got the victory. David had been through hell. Excuse the expression. David had been through H-E double hockey sticks. You know, talk about, I mean, he had a couple of victories. I mean, cutting the head off of a giant is pretty cool. But then spending the next whatever amount of time running from the king who's trying to throw spears at you because he's jealous. You're running all over the countryside and Saul's chasing you. You're hiding in caves. David's hiding in caves. And then finally he says, I got to get out of here. He goes across the border. He's in enemy territory. If that's not rough enough, then he goes out on a raid and he comes back and his camp has been raided and all of his guys want to kill him. David's been through some rough times. But, you know, he's not been, we can see that when he's bringing the ark back and he's doing all this celebrating, he has not been trained by his hardship. He's not been conditioned to reserve his celebration because the next battle's coming up. He has not been conditioned that way. He's not allowing himself to be reserved. He's not embarrassed of the victory. He's not embarrassed of himself, his own celebration. You know, kings wore robes and it signified dignity and honor. Well, he got rid of all of that. He didn't care about dignity. He was going to celebrate and he was going to do it right and show us all how to do it. So celebration, very important. And no, I don't got all this down. I'm not here to be corrective or to tell y'all how to live your life and how, you know, how I've got it all down. But no, I'm learning all of this too. I'm learning not to let my battles dictate how I'm going to celebrate. I'm learning how not to let future potential problems dull my celebration now. I don't want to be trained by the battles that I've been through. I don't want to live looking back saying, you know, that was a tough one. Thank you, God, that I'm where I'm at now. I don't want it to be dulled. Don't let tomorrow's battles put the celebration of today on mute. Don't let yesterday's battles squelch your celebration. So we're all going to get loud, right?
Yeah.
We married well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And whatever we're going through today, tomorrow's going to look different.
Amen.
The battle is yours to win. The battle is being won right now.
Amen.
Looking at the circumstances, looking at the ingredients and how is this all going to work out has never helped me. I could tell you stories, but I don't have time. Next ingredient, suggestion of living out victory. See, what we want to do with celebration and with all of these suggestions, we're training ourselves We're giving ourselves new neural pathways, creating new habits of thinking. That's what we want. You know, if I'm a winner, I want to feel like a winner. If I'm victorious, if I have been translated from death to life, I want to feel like it. And if I've been trained or allowed myself to be trained and conditioned another way, I need to change. Next suggestion is, after celebration, we need to have meditation. We need the recollection. Maybe it's been a while since God has done something. Maybe you've waited a long time for your breakthrough. But you have other breakthroughs. There are other victories that are being overshadowed right now because of this current challenge. Maybe. You still have victories to celebrate. You still have things to ponder. You have things to be grateful for. Can you say amen? See, and God expects us to remember things that he's done. We have to rehearse them. We have to remember them. We have to think about it. Yeah, it's just like yesterday I was thinking about how, you know what? Who am I that God would tell me, come on, you're my son. I'm going to make you my son. Who am I that God would change me, forgive me, and make me whole? Who am I that God would want to walk with me and want me to walk with him? It can be something as simple as that. And then you go on from there. I think, you know what? I needed a place to live. And God came through. I needed a place to live, and not only did I need a place to live now, but I didn't have a whole lot of money to do it, and then he came through with a house. Yeah. You guys have your own stories. I won't go into all of that. I mean, Kramers, I'm jealous of you guys, in the Lord, of course. You guys got an awesome house. It looked bad there. You got burned out of your old house. That looked bad. That was a bad day. But now you got a house that, geez, anybody would like to live in. Yeah. Amen? So we have victories. We have things we want to remember. In Joshua 3 and 4, there's the nation of Israel is getting ready to cross the Jordan. And Joshua gets this word and he tells the people, you know what, we're going to have the priests go through the Jordan first, you're going to stay back at a respectable distance, and then we're going to all cross the Jordan. And what happens is the priests go into the river, they're carrying the ark, and the water stays back, and they cross over on dry ground. That's the Red Sea part two, right? And then after the nation crosses over, that must have taken a while. The water's piling up. That was a big nation to get across that river. So that's a big miracle. And the Lord says, take some stones from that river and put them up on the shore. He says, build a memorial right there for your future generations, so that when they come by years from now, your sons are going to say, Father, what do those stones mean? And you're going to say, well, that's the day that we took the ark across the Jordan River, but there was no river. We walked over on dry ground, and you're going to tell them the story. But God expects us to remember the great things that he's done. I don't know if he's asking you to build memorial stones and things like that, but he's expecting us to remember. It doesn't, you know, I don't care if the last thing God did for you was 10 years ago. You celebrate that bad boy. You know, that's a rare thing, too. I mean, I don't know anybody who God hasn't done something for lately. I don't think I've talked to anybody lately, but I mean, just theoretically, you know, if it's been a while, God is generous, but if it's been a while, you hold on to what he's done. You go back to that portal. You go back to that place. You let your mind be trained there. That's who you are. Remember what he's done. Flush out the cobwebs if you have to. All the sensors. Clean off all the sensors. You know, all it takes is a little bit of thought. Start listing things that God has done for you. You know, I haven't spent a dime on gas getting myself to work for 12 years. Right? Got a job with a company truck, gas, they make the payments, all that other stuff. I'm not bragging, I'm saying glory to God. Sometimes we're afraid to glorify God because it sounds like we're bragging. Well, I'm not bragging. I'm just happy. And I should be. I'm happy about that. You know, every time I ask for a raise, the boss brings that up too. He says, how much do you think that insurance costs on that truck out there, man? Yeah. So victory can look different for a lot of us, and it's going to. You have to remember the victories that God has given you. See, our main warfare is not battling the world and the devil. Our main warfare is battling our own thoughts. Take it from me. And the best thing we can do is seen in Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think on these things. So we have to remember it. We have to rehearse it. We have to recall what God has done. Because we're not orphans. We haven't been left out in the cold. The devil's a liar. Yeah. Just this past week, I was at work and I'm walking around the yard and I'm feeling kind of under it a little bit. I'm feeling some pressure, and there's all these things I'm supposed to be taking care of, and you know, I'm not sure I've got a handle on all of them, right? But I'm walking through the yard and I stop and I go, ha. I'm a royal priest. I am a royal priesthood. And then I don't have to worry about anything. I feel this peace come in.
Yeah.
And then I keep going. I go about my day. A couple more times during the day, I reminded myself, I'm a royal priest. Don't get nervous about that. Right? So we got to keep our heads up. We got to remember what God has said about us, what God has done for us. Next suggestion on how to live out the victory is declaration. Like Phil said earlier, something powerful happens when we declare things. There's power in it when we make declarations. There's more reasons to declare things than there are not. Okay? Maybe just because you declare something doesn't mean it's going to pop, but if you don't declare it, is it going to? If you're confessing one thing, how can you expect another thing? Right? Plus, something happens in us when we declare things. That may be more important, what happens in us. Romans 10:17, Paul says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God or the word of Christ, even if that word comes from yourself, even if you're the one speaking that word, you're hearing. Years ago, I won't say how many, because I've been saved a little bit, okay? But I first came to the Lord, and I had spent my life as an alcoholic. Well, labels are so funny. But I had been drinking every day of my life from the time I was 18, 17 actually, to the time I was 30. Almost every day. I mean, it graduated. I built up to it. And then I had a little stint of methamphetamine. And then because I wanted to stop doing that, I got too scary. That was frightening. I said, okay, no, I'm going to drink myself out of that. And so I was a mess. And then I didn't know how to change, but I wanted to change. And God came in and he said, just call me. My phone's open. Call me. I'm not withholding my number from you. So I sat on my couch in the dark in La Puente, California in 1990. And I started talking to him and asking him for stuff. And he was there. And that was the beginning of my freedom. And a few months later on, I'm going to church. And things are happening. I'm going to church. And I'm talking with this pastor friend. And his name was Tudy. And we're sitting out on the front seat of the church and front on the planters out there. And I'm telling him how, you know, after work, I go outside. I'm working in the hot sun. And after work, I go to the liquor store. This is months later after being saved. I go to the liquor store and I'm thirsty. I go in, I open the cooler case and I put my face against all the cases of beer. And I cool off and I close the case and I go get a soda. I tell him, and it doesn't affect me one bit. I go, it doesn't call to me. And he says, so you're free. And I'd never said that before. I'm like, oh, I'm free. And you could feel that peace, that something moved in right there. And something happened in me when I said that, I'm free. All right, so something happens when we make declarations. I just want you guys to go with me, make a couple of declarations. Steve Backlund has a good book. Y'all know Steve Backlund, right? I like his stuff. One of his books, You're Crazy If You Don't Talk to Yourself. It's been out for a while, and he's doing a reprint real soon. But on page 65, he's got some confessions. I want to just borrow from that, and if you guys feel like it, if you're not asleep yet, you can go ahead and you can join with me. You can say, I have a supernatural ability and strength.
I have a supernatural ability and strength.
Right. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Yeah. Next one. I have a supernatural provision. Say it again. I have a supernatural provision.
I have a supernatural provision.
Okay, I'm getting bossy now. Sorry. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yeah. That's right. I really wasn't expecting you guys to quote the verse too, but since I'm going with it, you know, I'm flowing with you, right? So, next one. I have supernatural wisdom. Oh, God. Don't forget the oh, God part. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Yeah, that's good stuff. So, declaration is a good practice, no? Did you guys feel that right there? Anybody? Yeah, declaration is a good practice. It's part of the habit that helps us develop those new pathways, the new habits of how we think about ourselves and the world around us. Next one. The next habit I want to talk to you about is, I call it invitation, but what it really means is talk about it. You could call it testimonies. You know, we hear a lot of testimonies. Sometimes we can go a while without hearing testimonies. But we hear testimonies and it does something. It either challenges us to believe more for ourselves, and hopefully it excites us and we're thankful and grateful on behalf of the person who's giving us the testimony. I mean, I hope that's what's happening. I mean, there's been a time or two where, you know, I might have felt a little jealous. You know, don't look at me like that, because I know I'm not the only one, right? You think, sometimes you think, God, where's mine? You know, instead of celebrating with this other person, we think, oh, you know, we get a little bit down. But it shouldn't be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Because God is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? See, if we're developing these expectations, then someone else's win is going to be our win. If we're being developed in expecting great things versus desperation, if we're in an expectation mode of great things, someone else's testimony is not going to bother us. It's going to be a good news. Because that's my God too. That's my future too. Somebody gets blessed. Somebody gets healed. Huh? Somebody gets healed. You get healed. You're going to get healed. Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. We celebrate just a little bit, right? We're like, yeah, we're like tentative. We're not going to be tentative, are we?
No!
Hallelujah. Sorry. But we need to talk about it. Part of living in the wind is talking about it, being willing to share it with other people, not being embarrassed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not being embarrassed of to tell people why you're so blessed. It's not because you're the greatest money manager. Well, maybe you are, but it's not that. So we got to talk about it. Something happens when we talk about it. We don't know what it does to the other person. Like we say, some people, they get challenged by it, and that's a good thing. They say, you know what? I can be there too. Some people are going to celebrate it, and it strengthens them. And it strengthens us. Because it goes back to recollection. When we're telling somebody about it, it goes back to meditation. We're chewing on that again when we're telling somebody how we just got blessed. And the last one is consecration. Now, the definition of consecration is the separation of oneself from things that are unclean. Especially anything that would contaminate one's relationship with a perfect God. Consecration also carries the connotation of sanctification, holiness, or purity. That's a good habit, is to be consecrated unto the Lord. Well, the good news is he's done the heavy lifting. So, all we do is agree. All we do is we get it right to where we're agreeing. We consecrate ourselves. You know what? Sin has no hold on me. Sin will not be my master. Romans 12 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. just in case you guys thought I went and got all religious on you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We don't consecrate ourselves to, We don't consecrate ourselves in order to be saved, in order to be holy, in order to do something we couldn't do before Christ. We consecrate ourselves to deepen our awareness of that. Joshua, back to Joshua again in chapter 3. The Lord tells the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. What happened the next day? That's the day they built the stone memorial on the other side of the Jordan. So, what if we consecrated ourselves a little bit more? Have you ever wondered about that? And I wonder about that sometimes. What if I fasted a little more? Or some even. What would happen? What would happen if I were to be in the Word more? You ever ask yourself that? I can't tell you, and I shouldn't tell you what consecration looks like for you. That's between you and the Lord. So rather than try and define it for you, I know what he's speaking to me. But I'm just going to play a song right now. Then we're going to pray. We're going to be done. Okay? They ain't going to cooperate, so you know what? Let's get on with it. So a little consecration. And then, seriously, I'm going to let you know what the song says. Though it's not popular, I choose the narrow way. I voluntarily choose to be a slave, to dive into your word and to eat the scroll so that I can be a voice and not an echo. Though it's not popular, I choose the narrow way. I voluntarily choose to be your slave, to dive into your word and to eat the scroll so that I can be a voice and not an echo. Yeah. Yeah. So, you guys ready to pray?
Yeah.
Have we done anything here today?
Yeah.
Huh? So let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for new habits of living in victory, God. Of putting the mute button on defeat. Putting the mute button on the naysayers. Putting the mute button on Sanballat, Tobias, and those kinds of guys. Putting the mute button on the voice of doubt. Thank you, Lord. We are not trained by the battles. We are not trained on how to celebrate victory by the defeats or the hardships. We are trained by the Spirit of God with a clean slate on how to celebrate and leap and shout with joy. Yeah. Train us, God. Yeah. We submit to you, Lord, how to celebrate. We submit to you, Lord God. Teach us how to meditate. Teach us what declarations to make. Speak through us. Let us hear it, God. Teach us, God, how to invite others into the victory. Into the win. Teach us, God, how to be consecrated. What consecration to you looks like between us. Yeah. Bless everyone here today, God. Bless them as they rise up and they lie down in the field and in the home. Bless them, Lord, coming in and going out. Bless their conversations. And Father, I thank you for their hopes coming to light, being blooming as breakthroughs. Thank you, Lord. Bless the people, God, today in Jesus' name. Amen.